So we finished our first part of the course about 6 months ago. So it is important that we warm our knowledge of the previous chapters first before we go to the next chapter, that is chapter 4. Now, chapter 1 of the manual, book called Abhidhammata Sangaha, the original Pali. So chapter 1 deals with what are called chittas, or types of consciousness. Types of consciousness, or consciousness, is one of the four ultimate truths. So the other three are mental factors, matter, and nibbana. And chitta, or consciousness, is divided into 89 or 121 types. So there are akusala chittas, ahituka chittas, and so on. So akusala chittas are those that are called unwholesome consciousness. That means these types of consciousness are accompanied by unwholesome mental states. You know that mental states or chittasikas are treated in the second chapter. There are akusala chittas first, and then ahituka chittas, rootless consciousness, like seeing, hearing, and so on. And the third division is kama vachara sobhana chitta. They are called sobhana, or beautiful consciousness, because they are accompanied by beautiful mental factors. Akusala chittas, ahituka chittas, and kama vachara sobhana chittas belong to the class of sense sphere consciousness. They are experienced mostly in human realm and four woeful states and six celestial realms. And after the kama vachara sobhana chittas, we have rupa vachara chittas. Rupa vachara chittas are what now people know as jhana chittas. So jhana chittas are the higher states of consciousness. They are higher than the ones called akusala, ahituka, and kama vachara. So in order to get the rupa vachara kusala chittas, we need to practice samatha meditation. So through the practice of samatha meditation, one can experience what are called rupa vachara chittas or jhana chittas. And they are divided into kusala, vipaka, and kriya. So wholesome, resultant, and functional types of consciousness. And these rupa vachara chittas frequently arise in the realm of brahmas, rupa brahmas. So that is why they are called rupa vachara chittas. But it doesn't mean that they do not arise in sensual realms also. And next is arupa vachara. Arupa is another name for nama. So it is called immaterial realm. The types of consciousness belonging to immaterial realms. They are also jhana chittas. So they are higher than the rupa vachara chittas, because rupa vachara chittas take the rupa or matter as object, but arupa vachara chittas take concepts and the other types of consciousness as object. So the arupa vachara chittas are higher than rupa vachara chittas, and they mostly arise in the realm of brahmas, who have no physical body. It is said that in the realm of immaterial Brahmas, there are only chetas and chetasikas, or consciousness and mental factors. Now, up to Arupa Vajra chetas are called mundane chetas. So Akusala, Ahituka, Kama Vajra, Rupa Vajra, and Arupa Vajra belong to mundane realm or mundane sphere. And above them is Lokuttara Cheta. That means transcending the world. Transcending the world means transcending the world of five aggregates of clinging. There are two categories in the Lokuttara Chetas. The first is wholesome and the second is resultant. The wholesome supramundane or Lokuttara Chetas are path consciousness, and the resultant supramundane Chetas are the fruition consciousness or phala consciousness. They arise at the moment of enlightenment. So at the moment of enlightenment, as a result of the practice of vipassana, the path consciousness arises. And when it arises, it takes nibbana as object and it eradicates mental defilements. And the path consciousness is immediately followed by fruition consciousness or resultant consciousness. So altogether, there are 89 or 121 chetas. Now, if you remember, how many akusala chetas are there? 12. And ahetuka or rootless chetas? 18. Right? You can look back in the book. Please turn to page 28. So mundane chetas 81, and under them there are sense sphere chetas, 54 sense sphere chetas. In Pali they are called kama vachara. And under the sense sphere chetas, 54 sense sphere chetas, there are unwholesome chetas, 12 unwholesome chetas, or 12 akusala chetas. And under the 12 akusala chetas, there are three groups. From number 1 to 8, greed-rooted chetas. Chetas that are accompanied by greed. And number 9 and 10, hatred-rooted chetas. So chetas accompanied by hate or anger. And number 11 and 12, delusion-rooted chetas. So chetas accompanied by delusion or moha. So greed is called lobha in Pali, and hatred, dosa, and delusion, moha. So greed rooted chetas are 8, hatred rooted chetas are 2, and delusion rooted chetas are 2. Altogether there are 12 chetas that are called unwholesome chetas. So we may call them bad chetas. So when we are attached to something, or when we are angry, or when we are deluded, one of these types of consciousness arises in our minds. And under the 54 sensuous chetas, there is another group called rootless chetas. There are 18 of them. Rootless chetas are called ahetuka chetas. Hetu means root and ah means no. So chetas without roots, without concomitant roots, are called rootless chetas. And there are three groups of rootless chetas. So number 13 to 19 or 7 are called unwholesome resultant. That means result of unwholesome karma. And number 20 to 27, wholesome resultant. That means result of wholesome karma. And 28 to 30 are called rootless functional. Now, for example, number 13, when we see something, there arises in our mind seeing consciousness. And that seeing consciousness belongs to the first group, unwholesome resultant. That is, when we see something we don't want to see, when we see something frightful, when we see something ugly, then the seeing consciousness arises, and that seeing consciousness is the result of unwholesome karma in the past. So when we see something we want to see, when we see something beautiful, when we see something good, then again another seeing consciousness arises, and that seeing consciousness is the result of wholesome karma or good karma in the past. Those belonging to the third group, we will meet them when we go into the fourth chapter. And functional means they are not wholesome, they are not unwholesome, they are not resultant, but they just arise and disappear. Mostly functional consciousness arise in the minds of Arahants and Buddhas. Again, under sense sphere chetas, there is another group, and that is called sense sphere beautiful chetas. So there are 24 sense sphere beautiful chetas. The first group of 8 are wholesome sense sphere chetas. Now, when you pay homage to the Buddha, when you practice dana, when you keep moral precepts, then one of these chetas arise in your mind. So they are called sense sphere wholesome chetas. And the exact result of these 8, number 39 to number 46, are called sense sphere resultant chetas. And the same type of consciousness that arise in the minds of Buddhas and Arahants are called sense sphere functional chetas. So each consists of 8 chetas, and so we get 24 sense sphere beautiful chetas. So on the screen you find kama vajra sobhana chetas, they are the same. So under the sense sphere chetas, 54 sense sphere chetas, we have unwholesome, rootless, and sense sphere beautiful, 3 groups. Parallel with sense sphere chetas, there is another group called fine material sphere chetas. So they are rupa vajra chetas. There are 15 of them. First 5 are called fine material sphere wholesome. And the second, fine material sphere resultant. And the third 5, fine material sphere functional. As I said before, these types of consciousness arise when you get jhana. And another group is 12 immaterial sphere chetas. They are called immaterial sphere because there is no matter in that sphere. And they are 3 groups of 4 each. So number 70 to 73, immaterial sphere wholesome consciousness, and then the second group, immaterial sphere resultant, and third group, immaterial sphere functional consciousness. So functional consciousness from sense sphere beautiful, fine material sphere, and immaterial sphere arise only in the minds of Buddhas and Arahants. So up to now, when we add up 54, 15, and 12, we get 89 types of consciousness, 81 types of consciousness that are called mundane chetas. And then another group, supramundane chetas, there are 8 or 40. Now supramundane chetas are divided into two groups. The first group is wholesome chetas and second group resultant chetas. So these types of consciousness arise at the moment of enlightenment. Now there are 4 stages of enlightenment, and so there are 4 types of consciousness for wholesome chetas and 4 types of consciousness for resultant chetas. Now the first one is here stated as path of stream entry. Now you may have heard of the Pali word sotapanna. So the first is called sotapatti magga. And the second, path of one's returning, in Pali it is called sagadagami magga. And the third, path of non-returning, anagami magga. And the last called path of arahantship. And the supramundane resultant chetas consists of the fruits of the same, the fruit of stream entry, fruit of once returning, fruit of non-returning, and fruit of arahantship. Each one of these can resemble the 5 fine material sphere consciousness. So when we multiply each one of these 8 by 5, we get 40. So there are 8 of 40 supramundane chetas or supramundane types of consciousness. So altogether, there are 89 or 121 types of consciousness. Now, it is important that you are familiar with these 81 types of consciousness. I hope you have the chart with you. Oh yes. So that is the one you need to be familiar with. I think you attended the class last time, right? So you are familiar with this, the chart. And you should be able to remember this without looking at the chart. You can do it. It's not that difficult. So if you do it a little a day, one column a day or 2 columns a day, then you can get it in 1 week. So it is important that you are familiar with this, because we will have to refer to the consciousness, types of consciousness, again and again when we go along the course. So, suppose I will say receiving consciousness. Then when I say receiving consciousness, you should be able to identify on the chart which consciousness is meant. Then you see clearly, and then you understand clearly. If you do not remember, then it will be a little confusing for you. So if you have forgotten the chart, please do it again. I mean, memorize it again. It will be very helpful. I think I can skip jhana and jhana factors. It will take too long. So, and then removal of fetters by different margas. I'll skip these 2. So I want you to be familiar with just the chart, and then to be able to identify each one, like this is accompanied by joy, associated with wrong view, unprompted, prompted, and so on. Okay, let's go to the second chapter. Now, the second chapter deals with what are called chitasikas, mental factors. Mental factors are mental states that arise with citta. So whenever citta arises, chitasikas also arise. How is citta defined? What is consciousness? What is citta? Citta is the awareness of the object. And this is how citta is defined. So citta is some mental state that is aware of the object. And here aware means just a mere awareness of the object, not like awareness in practice of meditation. Only when there is awareness of the object can there be contact with the object, can there be experience of the object, can there be attachment to the object, or can there be hate towards the object, and so on. So that is why citta is said to be the forerunner of all mental states. Now the gentleman who introduced the reverend? Yeah, talk about the first verse in Dhammapada, right? Manopubhangama Dhamma. So that means citta is the forerunner of all mental states. Citta is the leader of all mental states. Citta is the chief of all mental states. Now citta and chittasikas arise together at the same time. Although they arise at the same time, citta is said to be their leader. And also it is called forerunner, but not that it arises first and then chittasikas follow it, because citta and chittasikas arise together or simultaneously. But because there can be no chittasikas without the awareness of the object, the awareness of the object is said to be the chief of all mental states. So these mental states are called in Pali chetasikas, those that are dependent on citta for their arising. And chetasikas are divided into ethically variables. That means they can be associated with wholesome and unwholesome. So they are variables. Sometimes they arise with wholesome chetas and sometimes they arise with unwholesome chetas and so on. And they are called in Pali anya samana, the common to the other. And these ethically variables, there are 13 of them, and they are divided into two groups. The first group is called universals. That means common to all chittas. Now there are, let's say, 89 chittas. So there are 7 chittasikas that arise with each of these 89 chittasikas. So whenever a type of consciousness arises, these 7 also arise. So they are called universals. In Pali they are called sabba citta sadharana. And there are 7 of them. And the second group is called occasionals, or in Pali pakinaka. Now they will arise with some types of consciousness only, not with every type of consciousness. So there are 6 of them. Please turn to page 79 in the book. Now there you see the list. Ethically variables, 13. And universals, 7. And they are 1, contact, 2, feeling, 3, perception, 4, volition, 5, one-pointedness of mind, 6, life faculty, and 7, attention. So these seven are called universals. That means every time a type of consciousness arises, all these seven also arise. And then second group is called occasionals, and there are six of them, and they are initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, decision, energy, zest. Zest is in Pali piti, and desire. Desire means just the desire to do. It is not attachment. It is a will to do, and sometimes it is translated as cognition. So these six are called occasionals because they arise with only some types of consciousness, not with every or all types of consciousness. So the universals and occasionals are collectively called ethically variables, or in Pali they are called anya samana. Now the next group is unwholesome mental factors, unwholesome cetasikas, and there are 14 of them. Among these 14, there are four that are called unwholesome universals. That means they arise with all unwholesome cetas. Now if you go back to the cetas, you see there are 12 unwholesome cetas. So these four, number 14, 15, 16, 17, arise with every one of those 12 unwholesome cetas. The first is delusion. In Pali it is moha. 15, shamelessness. 16, fearlessness of wrongdoing. And 17, restlessness of mind. And then the other group, unwholesome occasionals. Now greed and others, they will arise with some unwholesome consciousness only, not with each and every type of unwholesome consciousness. So they are greed. So greed, attachment, desire, they are all same. And 19 is wrong view. So taking things to be permanent and so on, or taking that there is no wrongdoing when you kill a being and so on. And conceit, it is pride, hatred or anger, and envy, jealousy of other people's success or other people's prosperity, and avarice. Avarice is intolerance of one's property being common to other people. Suppose I own this thing. I want to keep it only to myself. And if anybody makes use of this, I don't like it. So I have some kind of ill will or anger. So that is what is called avarice here. It is some very, very close to stinginess. But stinginess is attachment to the thing. But this is maybe based on attachment, but not attachment. Because this is one kind of ill will. So I don't like when somebody comes and makes use of it. I don't want to share this with other people. So that intolerance of one's property being common to other people is what is called avarice, or in Pali, machariya. And then worry, worry here means regret. Regret for something good you did not do in the past, and regret for something wrong you did in the past. So both are called regret or remorse. And then sloth and torpor, and that is sleepiness, and doubt. doubt about the Buddha, the Dhamma, Sangha, and so on. So from number 18 to number 27 are called unwholesome occasionals. Among them, 18, 19, and 20 arise with some of the eight types of unwholesome consciousness accompanied by greed. Number 21, hatred, envy, avarice, and worry, to number 24. These four arise with two types of consciousness, unwholesome consciousness accompanied by hate or hatred. And sloth and toba accompanies those types of consciousness that are prompted. And doubt is just doubt. So these are unwholesome mental factors. And the next group is beautiful factors. They are good mental factors, good chetasikas. And there are 25 of them. Among them, the first group is called beautiful universals. That means these 19 chetasikas arise with every beautiful consciousness. So they are faith or confidence, mindfulness, shame, shame for wrongdoing, fear of wrong, fear to do wrong, non-greed, non-hatred, and then neutrality of mind, and then tranquility of mental body. Mental body means chetasikas. Tranquility of consciousness, lightness of mental body, lightness of consciousness, malleability of mental body, malleability of consciousness, wieldiness of mental body, wieldiness of consciousness, proficiency of mental body, proficiency of consciousness, rectitude of mental body, rectitude of consciousness. So these 19 are called beautiful universals, and they will arise with every type of beautiful consciousness. That means wholesome consciousness, and some resultant consciousness, and functional consciousness. The next group is called abstinences, abstaining from something. So right speech means abstaining from wrong speech, right action, abstaining from wrong action, and right livelihood, abstaining from wrong livelihood. So these three are called abstinences. And then the next two are called illimitables. I would call them limitless. They are called limitless because the object they take must be limitless. Now there are only two shown here, compassion and appreciative joy. So when you practice compassion, you must take all beings as the object of compassion. There should be no limit of beings you take as object. Appreciative joy, the same. Appreciative joy means you are happy when other people are successful, when other people are prosperous, when other people are happy. These two are among the four states that are called Brahma Vihara, noble abiding or Brahma abiding. The other two are included in the 19. You know the four Brahma Viharas: loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. So among the beautiful universals, 19 beautiful universals, number 33, non-hatred, is loving kindness. And number 34, neutrality of mind, is equanimity. Since they are included in the beautiful universals, here we have only two limitless ones. But all, if we add the other two to these two, we get four. And these four are called Brahma Viharas, or noble abidings or divine abidings. And the last one is non-delusion. Non-delusion means wisdom faculty, that is understanding, knowledge, wisdom. So if we add all these up, ethically variables 13, unwholesome 14, and beautiful 25, we get 52 chetasikas, or 52 mental states. And these 52 mental states come into combination with the 89 or 121 types of consciousness. That means the first type of consciousness. Now the first type of consciousness arises with 19 chetasikas. Then we have to find out which are the 19. So you have to go to another chart to know this. So in the book, it's on page 112. So that chart will tell you what chetasikas arise with what chetas, or what chetas arise with what chetasikas. So there are two kinds of combination of chetas and chetasikas. So the first one is called method of combination, and the second method of association. But I would prefer to call cheta chetasika combination and chetasika cheta combination. That's easier to understand. So chetasika cheta combination means you take one chetasika and you try to find how many chetas it is associated with. Cheta-chetasika combination means you take one cheta and then find out how many chetasikas arise with it. You should be familiar with this combination, both cheta-chetasika combination and chetasika-cheta combination. When studying thought processes, we may apply this to the types of consciousness contained in the thought processes. Or we may just do one or two of them as an exercise. Now let us go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 deals with chetas primarily. Chetasikas are not expressly treated in the third chapter, but when chetas are treated, chetasikas are also treated. So we must understand the chetasikas also, but it will be difficult to find out the chetasikas. So we will take just the chetas in this chapter. This chapter is divided into six sections. The first section deals with vedana or feeling. That means it divides the 89 or 121 types of consciousness into those accompanied or those associated with joyful feeling or pleasant feeling, those with unpleasant feeling, and those with joy, those with painful feeling, and those with neutral feeling. Now if you look at the small chart, now you will see that those with red color are those that are accompanied by somanasa or joyful feeling. And the blue colors are those that are accompanied by equanimity or neutral feeling. And then red cross and green cross, right? So the green cross means this is the bodily painful feeling. That means painful feeling connected with the body. And red cross means bodily pleasant feeling. So there are five kinds of feelings here. Or two green ones, they are accompanied by hate or unpleasant feeling. So we must be able to divide the 89 or 121 types of consciousness according to these five kinds of feeling. So if you are familiar with this a small chart, the card, then you know at a glance what types of consciousness are accompanied by joyful feeling, what by hatred, and so on. And then the next section is analysis of roots. That means the 89 or 121 types of consciousness are divided with regard to roots. So before we understand the analysis of roots, we must understand what are the roots. Now, how many roots are there? Six roots. So what are the six roots? Lobha, dosa, moha, greed, hatred, delusion, and then alobha, non-greed, adosa, non-hate, and amoha, non-delusion. So these six are called roots, or in Pali they are called hetu. And types of consciousness on this chart are accompanied by sometimes by three roots, or sometimes by two roots, or sometimes by one root, or sometimes by no roots at all. Now we must know about them. Now the second, third, and fourth columns, they are ahetuka. Now you see the words ahetuka at the bottom. So these three columns are those that are not accompanied by any roots. So they are called rootless. Now the others are either accompanied by two roots, or one root, or three roots, as the case may be. You have to find out all these from the book. And then the next section is the section of functions. So the 89 or 121 types of consciousness are analyzed by way of functions. Now, there are different functions assigned to different types of consciousness. Now, when you study the thought process, you will have to refer to this section again and again. Some types of consciousness as a function of turning to the object, some has a function of accepting, some has investigating, some determining, and some thoroughly enjoying the object, and so on. So these are called the functions. And just as in an office, different people have different functions. So in the 89 or 121 types of consciousness also, each one has its own function. And we must understand what function a particular consciousness does. Now, for example, the first column. The first column is what? Akusala. So all of them have the function of javana. Javana means full experience of the object. So something like that. So we need to understand the functions of others also. And then next section is analysis by doors. Doors are those through which the objects are presented to us, to the mind, and through which different types of consciousness arise. So they are called doors, figuratively. Now the eyes are called door, the ears are called door, because seeing consciousness arises through the eye door, and hearing consciousness arises through the ear door, and so on. So they are called doors. So how many doors are there? 5 or 6? 6 doors. So eye door, ear door, nose door, tongue door, not mouth, tongue door, body door, mind door. So there are 6 doors. So through these 6 doors, the objects are presented to us. And we experience the objects through one of these 6 doors, depending on what kind of object that particular object is. For example, a visible object, something we can see. So when we see something, there arises seeing consciousness in our mind. And that seeing consciousness takes that visible object as object. Because there is the visible object, there is the seeing consciousness. And because there is the eye, there is the seeing consciousness. So seeing consciousness is said to arise through the eye door. The same with hearing and so on. But when you don't see, you don't hear, but you just think of something, you just imagine, then the object is presented to your mind through the mind door. So there are 6 doors through which the consciousness arises, or through which the objects are presented. And we have to find out through what door a particular type of consciousness arises. So these are treated in the 3rd chapter. And the next section is analysis by objects. Aramana Sangaha. Objects are divided into how many? How many objects are there? How many kinds of objects are there? 6. Visible object, or things you can see, and things you can hear, things you can smell, you can taste, you can touch, and you can know. So there are 6 kinds of objects. And different types of consciousness take different types of objects. And we must know what kind of object a particular consciousness takes. These are treated in the section on Aramana in the 3rd chapter. Again, when you see something, there is the thing which you see, and that is the object. And you see it through the eye, so the eye is the door. And then seeing consciousness is the consciousness. So seeing consciousness functions as seeing. So seeing is its function. So in this way, we find out the particulars of the individual types of consciousness in one given thought process. So there are many thought processes, and we can spend a lot of time just trying out to see the types of consciousness with reference to function, doors, objects, and so on. And among the objects, there are objects called concepts, conceptual objects. Now, we went through the jhana chetas. Jhana chetas take the concepts as object. The earth disk, the mental image of earth disk and so on, are called conceptual objects. And when you get jhana, your jhana consciousness takes that conceptual object as object and so on. And the last section deals with basis. So it is called analysis of basis. Or in Pali, Vattu Sangaha. Bases are something like seat of consciousness. Depending on them, consciousness arises. So how many bases are there? You just say six. Now, six doors, six objects, six bases. So the eyes are called eye base, the ears, ear base, nose, nose base, tongue, tongue base, body, body base, and the last one is not mind base. And the last one is called heart base. Now, the doors and bases, the eye door and the eye base are the same. Ear door and ear base, nose door and nose base, tongue door and tongue base, body door and body base, they are same. But mind door and heart base, they are different. Mind door is mental. Mind door is the bhavanga consciousness, but heart base is the heart, physical heart in our body. And different types of consciousness based on different bases. So seeing consciousness is dependent upon eye base, and hearing consciousness dependent upon ear base and so on. And then some types of consciousness are dependent on heart base. And we will have to find out which type of consciousness in a particular thought process is dependent upon what kind of base. So when we study the thought processes, we will be referring to these sections again and again. Or if you are familiar with these sections, then you can understand the thought processes easily. So the first chapter deals with chittas, and second chapter deals with chetasikas. And the third chapter deals with chitta, and it analyzes the chittas regarding different things like feelings, roots, functions, doors, objects, and bases. So when we go to the fourth chapter, then we will make use of the knowledge of these chapters so that we understand them fully. Now, in order to be familiar with the first, second, and third chapter, at least you need to have this chart and then be able to identify the different types of consciousness just by pointing at each triangle or each square. So the first one, you may say with joy, with wrong view, unprompted. And the second one, with joy, with wrong view, prompted, and so on, right? And in order to understand the relationship between the chetas and chetasikas, you need to be familiar with the chart on page 112. It would be very difficult to be familiar with this chart, but if you can look at the chart and find out what chetas or chetasikas associated, I think that's all right. And for the third chapter, there are diagrams in this book as well as in the handouts. And so you can see from the diagrams how they are analyzed, how the types of consciousness are analyzed according to feelings and so on. So after these three chapters, we will go to the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter is called Viti Sangaha. So this chapter deals with what are called thought processes. The Pali word Viti means a street, a road, a line, or a series. So in this chapter, the following will be dealt with: idle thought process and five sense door thought process. Actually, idle thought process is included in five sense door thought process, and then mind door thought process. And among the mind or thought process, there are jhana thought process, path thought process, and there is one particular type of thought process called process with guest bhavanga. And then jhavanas arising for how many times and so on, and then individuals and the types of consciousness they experience. So these will be dealt with in the fourth chapter. So the fourth chapter mainly deals with what is called Viti. What is the meaning of the word Viti? A street. A street, a road, a series, a line. So the full word should be Citta Viti. Citta means consciousness, and Viti, a line, a series. So Citta Viti means a series of cittas, a series of types of consciousness. But they are called just thought processes, or in this book, cognitive process. So whatever you call it, it is the series of types of consciousness arising as a unit. Now, chetas or types of consciousness arise only one at a time. At one moment, see, there is number one citta, and then that citta disappears, and in its place there is citta number two, and then it disappears, and in its place number three cittas, and so on. But when we try to understand how mind works, we have to understand these different types of consciousness arising as a unit. Since they arise one after another, we try to see them as a line or as a process. Now you will have the diagrams of the thought processes. But please note that although we try to understand the mind as processes, actually, at one moment, there is only one one citta. For example, a thought process consists of 17 thought moments. So in the diagram, all 17 thought moments will be shown. But please do not take that at one moment there are all these 17 thought moments existing. At one moment there is only one citta arising. So if we can cut a door on the cardboard and then run the diagram of thought process so that you can see only one citta at a time, it would be very realistic. So please understand that although 17 thought moments or 16 or 15 will be shown on the diagram, they arise just one at a time. So at one moment there is only one consciousness, one citta, and not all 17 cittas existing at one moment. Now when we study the thought processes, first we must understand the duration of one thought or one citta. It is called a moment, citta moment. And it is said in the books that any time you snap the fingers or any time you close your eyes and open, billions of the cittas can arise and disappear. So we will see in a second. So according to that statement, billions of cittas can arise and disappear in a second. So the arising of citta is so fast, so brief. As though that is not enough. Each moment of citta is divided into three sub-moments. So we have first one citta moment, which is about a billionth of a second, not exactly billion, maybe tenth of billionth of a second, and that billionth of a second is divided into three sub-moments. So three sub-moments make one citta moment. Now these three moments are called, the first one is called arising, when they arise. And then the second moment is called presence. That means after arising they exist for a very brief period of time. So that is called the presence moment, present sub-moment. And then disappearing is one sub-moment. So every type of consciousness has these three sub-moments or lasts for these three sub-moments. So the first moment is called arising. And the second moment is called presence. And the third moment is called dissolution. So every citta has these three moments. And also we must understand the lifespan of a citta and a rupa or matter. It is said that matter lasts 17 times longer than one citta moment. So the life of one citta is just three sub-moments. But the life of a material property is 17 citta moments. That means 51 sub-moments. Now again, the life of one citta moment is three sub-moments, arising, present, and dissolution. The life of rupa, the life of material property, is 17 citta moments, that is 51 sub-moments. Okay, now the arising moment of citta and the arising moment of rupa, material property, are the same, of the same duration. And dissolution moment of citta and dissolution moment of rupa are also the same. But the present moment of citta and the present moment of rupa are different. So how many sub-moments make the present moment of a rupa? 49, right? The first presence is the same as the presence of a citta, and the last dissolution is also the same as the dissolution of citta. But in between there are 49 sub-moments. So these 49 sub-moments are called the presence period of a rupa or a material property. So a material property, a visible object or audible object, must last 17 thought moments. So when one rupa arises and disappears, how many chaitas arise and disappear? 17. When one rupa arises and disappears, 17 chaitas arise and disappear. So this is the basic knowledge you need to have before you study the thought processes. So again, how many chaitas can arise in a second? Billions of chaitas. And what is the duration of one chaita? Three sub-moments. And these three sub-moments are arising, presence, and dissolution. And what is the life of rupa, material property? 17 thought moments. So how many sub-moments are there for arising of rupa? Only one. And how many for dissolution of rupa? One. But how many for presence of rupa? 49. Okay. Let us take seeing. Seeing something. Seeing an object. So we always see something. We have seen objects many, many times, and so we think that the seeing is a simple experience, not so important, because we have been seeing many, many times in our lives. But when you know Abhidhamma, when you know the thought processes, and also when you apply your knowledge of the first, second, and third chapters to the process, you will see that what you think to be a very ordinary, simple experience is actually a very complex experience. Sometimes scientists talk about cells in the body and so on, and we wonder at them, how did they know? But the same kind of wonder you will experience when you study the thought processes. What seemed to be a very simple act is actually a very complex one. So complex that it is almost impossible for us to understand. It is the super wisdom of the Buddha that can discover all these intricate happenings in a seemingly simple experience and then to reveal it to the world. So when we see something, we see with our eyes or with our mind. Okay, I will leave it here, right? So after the break, then we will pick it up.